Happy Resurrection Day. What a day to celebrate life, real life, life here and eternal life in heaven. What a wonderful day for us as Christians to really celebrate our faith and what we believe in. I would encourage you to get your Bibles handy. In a little while, we will be reading from Matthew chapter 28. And you can join us in that. And we'll go over the resurrection story. Jesus said to Martha, the sister of Lazarus, in John 11, verse 25 and 26, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who lives and believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? He asked. The question is, do you all believe this, that you shall never die? I pray you do. You are listening to this message today, and if you are not a Christian, if somehow you've tuned us in, maybe you've heard of Jesus, but don't really believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, I pray today you become a Christian. And you can really celebrate the meaning of this day. I can remember our first Easter morning, going to church together as a family once we were saved. It was the first time I really celebrated Easter. It wasn't until then. Till my family and I knew the Lord, and we were hearing the resurrection story. And hopefully, this will change your life. The Bible tells us, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, we're here presenting the Word of God to you today on this Easter service. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 16, 21, and let's turn back to Matthew 16, 21, and verses 21 and 22. It tells us in Matthew 16, 21, from that time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go up to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. Jesus said, I've been here with you, but I'm going to die and be resurrected the third day. In Matthew 17, verse 22 and 23, it tells us, now while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. The third day he will be raised up. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. He said he would be raised up. Let's turn to Matthew 20, verse 17. Matthew 20, verse 17. Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests, to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, deliver him to the Gentiles, to mock and to scourge and to crucify, and the third day he will rise again. You know, it's been said that when you hear something three times, it sinks in. Well, it wasn't true for some of these disciples. They heard it three times, but it didn't sink in. But what if you say something three times and you do it? That should get people's attention. Well, when we went over the crucifixion on Good Friday, we ended with these words. We read in Matthew chapter 27, verses 62 to 66. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, After 3 days, I will rise again. Therefore, command that tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, he has risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, you have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. The body of Jesus was placed in the tomb, sealed by a large stone and a guard watching over it so no one can steal the body. Is Jesus what he said he is? Will he do what he said he would do? His promise of rising from the dead on the third day? This story, this account, this message could be a message of life and hope and joy, or a message of death, failure, disappointment, and sorrow. It all depends on what Jesus does. I'm a Christian. Most of you are listening to us. We see this is a story of life, hope, joy. This is Resurrection Day. This is our day to celebrate. Rising from the dead, and rising from the dead spiritually. Jesus spoke of many things, spiritual things, of a way to the Father, the forgiveness of sin, of deliverance, of freedom. He spoke of never dying, life in heaven, the real life. But on Friday night, Good Friday, I wonder if many were wondering and doubting, anxious, waiting. Can it all be true or not? Is it really true? Is there hope? Is there joy? Is there a possibility of living with God forever in heaven? Well, let's go ahead to Sunday. Let's not wonder. Isn't it great we have the Word of God? We can look into God's Word and see facts of what really happened. So we're going to read Matthew chapter 28, the account of the resurrection. And as we do here at Calvary Chapel, Lake Forest, I will read the odd-numbered verses and ask you to read the even-numbered verses as we go through the end of the chapter. Matthew 28, verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow.
And the guard shook for fear of him and became like dead men.
But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid. I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified.
He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay.
And go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.
So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word.
And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Now, while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city, reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened.
When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers,
saying, tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept.
And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure.
So they took the money, did as they were instructed, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day.
Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them.
And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted.
And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority.
Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
And amen. What a wonderful story. Verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. A new day dawns. It's Sunday. Sunday morning. I love Sunday mornings. We get to gather together with the church, worship the Lord, hear His word. It's our day. The Sabbath is over. It's the Lord's day, the first day of the week. And in this day, people will now go about their business because the Sabbath is over. The two Marys come to see the tomb. Now we know in Mark 16, it tells us, they came to anoint the body of Jesus with spices. They thought he was dead. Who would believe that one could rise from the dead? So they came doing what they could do to minister to the Lord's body. And behold, there was this great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. An earthquake that day. And so often we read in the Bible, when God speaks or does something, there's an earthquake getting people's attention. An earthquake, an angel came, sent by God to this earth, rolled away the stone that sealed the tomb. And his countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. A brilliant, awesome sight. What about the guards? The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. They're fearful. They don't know what to make of this. They don't know what's happening. They shook, were filled with fear. And those who reject Jesus, one day in the tribulation period, will be shaking. But we look forward to Jesus coming again to rule and to reign here with us. In verse 5, the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." Don't be afraid. I've got good news. I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. And now, here is the proof of the pudding. Here is the bottom line. Is Jesus in the tomb? Is he who he said he was? And wouldn't it be, well, it wouldn't be good, but wouldn't it be interesting if we didn't know the next verse? What if we're hearing this for the first time? Hey, is he in there? Is he not in there? Did he do? Or is he a fake? Is he just a prophet and a teacher and a good man? Has the new day really come? Has the Messiah come? Is there hope? The stone was rolled away. The stone was rolled away. And they said in verse 6, "He is not here, for he has risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." He is not here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if it ended there, we would be wondering, was his body stolen? Did something happen? Is there some deceit here? But it doesn't end there, because the announcement is made by this angel. He is not here, for he has risen. That makes a difference, doesn't it? He is risen. And the third thing, as he said. He is risen as he said. And then the encouragement to check it out. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Come and see. It's real. Jesus said he would rise, and he did. He lives. If Jesus tells me I will never die, then I believe him. I will never die. The alternative to life in heaven with Jesus is so bad, it's called death. Eternal life in hell, Gehenna. But I love life. I love Jesus. And I don't have to be concerned about that. He rose just as he said. And do you know it tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6, that over 500 brethren at once saw him? I would say that's a pretty good witness. But it not only says over 500 people saw him, it says, and many were still living at this time that they said that. So people could have gone to them and checked them out as witnesses. Isn't that interesting? Now, if you say we had 20 witnesses of this happening over here, but I'm sorry, they're all dead. Well, the judge has a problem. There's over 500 at one time, and many were still living at the time that you could check it out with. Many were still alive. And the women were invited, come and see for yourself. In John chapter 20, it tells us the grave clothes in there with the napkin over his head was folded and placed down neatly. There was no stealing of the body or something drastic happening here. Jesus left the tomb neatly. Jesus has left the tomb. He's not there anymore. What a verse, verse 6. He is what he said he was and did what he said he would do. And then in verse 7, the angel tells these wonderful women to go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. Go quickly. Tell his disciples. We see the first evangelists here. Go and tell right away. I can remember I was so excited when I gave my life to the Lord. I wanted to tell everybody. I thought they were just waiting to hear this news. Sadly, they weren't waiting to just hear that news. But many did believe. But we're to go and tell. Go and tell this good news. And you're going to see him again. Go to Galilee. Oh, those words. They were going to anoint his body. And they were told they will see him again. I know when a person loses a loved one, many times they'll say, if I could just see them for 5 more minutes and tell them how much I love them or hug them or just be around them. Oh, how a person longs for that. If I could just see them again. They were told, you will see him again. Can you imagine the excitement? Oh. Have you ever seen anyone rise from the dead to no longer die? I haven't. Not me. Except, in a sense, Christian, you and I have risen from the dead. We were headed to Gehenna. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. But all who believe have been resurrected from the dead and made alive, the Bible tells us, in Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we've become new creatures in Christ. We've risen from the dead. Just like when Lazarus was risen from the dead, as soon as he came out, Jesus said, take those grave clothes off of him. And that's what happened to us, a new creation. I was once dead, but now I'm alive. In Ephesians 2, verse 1 and 2, we are told, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. He made us alive. We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ today and the resurrection of ourselves to a new creation. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6, 23. Sin kills. It separates a person from God, and their eternal destiny will be in another place, not in heaven with God. Romans 6, verse 3, if you would like to turn there with me. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. We're told here by Paul, writing through the Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. I have been raised from the dead because my Jesus was risen from the dead. Remember we read in Matthew 28, verse 8, they left the tomb, departed quickly to the tomb with fear and great joy. They went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. There was joy, there was excitement. But also, we read there, with fear. They went out quickly, obeying to go and tell, with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. When I first believed, received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, there was joy, there was excitement, and a little fear. It was new. When one has an encounter with Jesus, there is great joy and some fear. Fear of the future. Well, we don't know much at first. We don't know the Word of God and many promises that we have. We don't know what the life will be like. We don't know how people will accept us. Will this really guide my life into a better life? And will things get better for me? Will I really go to heaven? Is this really too good to be true, or is it true? Just true. And we have a lot of questions and how to live and what about the old life? What if I can't continue in it? And we learn how God does all of this in us. And there's a little fear at first. And that's where they were. What's going on here? Ooh, this is so brand new. What's going to happen? What is life going to be like now? There was a resurrection. Well, why did Jesus rise from the dead? To demonstrate that he, Jesus Christ, has power over death and the grave, and he holds life in his hands, and we need not fear. He is the life, and if we follow him, he will take care of us and get us home. He rose. We need not fear death. We need not fear the future because he rose, defeating sin and death, and now gives life to others who will identify with him, believe in him, follow him, those who make him Lord and Savior. Jesus rose to demonstrate victory over death. Life does not end in the grave. We just move from here to the presence of the Lord. He conquered sin and death. He is the eternal fountain of youth. Death, facing death, can be a scary thing to some. We believers need not fear. Remember Jesus said, he who lives and believes in me shall never die? That's a fact. We need not fear. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15, please. 1 Corinthians 15. You know, as I'm sharing this, I think of this verse, he who lives and believes in me shall never die. Isn't that an awesome thought that it's so hard for us to comprehend because we live in time right now, that we are never going to die? What a thought. That, you know, in 5 minutes from now, I could be in heaven with the Lord. I'm never going to die. What a security that is. That I'm safe. It doesn't matter what kind of news I get, what kind of affliction I get, whatever happens to me or the world. I'm never going to die. That's wonderful. What a thought. But you only have that in Jesus. He who lives and believes in him shall never die. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, or grave, where is your victory? See, we can look at death and the grave and say, you can't sting me. You can't have victory over me. Why? Because the sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have victory over death, over sin, over the grave. The tomb could not hold Jesus. The grave cannot hold his followers. Isn't that wonderful? There is nothing but glorious life ahead for the believer. So verse 9, back to our text. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. He meets the women and tells them to rejoice. They were sad and confused, but now joy. Can you imagine the shock of running into Jesus on the way to go tell others? Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy came in the morning in the name of Jesus. And I love this in verse 9. They held him by the feet and worshiped him. Remember, I shared if you've lost a loved one, what it would be like to see that person again for 5 minutes. That's where they were. Can you imagine this scene, wrapping their arms around his feet and say, you're not going anywhere. You're not leaving us again, Jesus. We love it when you're around. We love you. They wrapped their arms around his feet and they worshiped him. How wonderful. What a wonderful scene that would be. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. I love Easter Resurrection Day. It's the Christian's day. We're to go and tell this story to others. You will see me. That means we will see him too in heaven. Can you imagine what our reaction will be when we see Jesus face to face? Will I fall to my knees? Will I dance? You know, we sing that song. What will I do? We often think we'll have a certain reaction when we're facing certain things. But then when we face certain things, it's not what we thought we would have. Can you imagine seeing Jesus face to face? Whoa. What will our reaction be? And now we get to the world's lame interpretation. Because Satan always tries to create a counterfeit to the truth. Verse 11. Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure. So they took the money, did as they were instructed, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. What a lame story. Hey, we'll buy the governor off. We'll take care of you. Don't worry. Just tell him this story. You know that while you were sleeping, they came at night and stole his body. They were given money to lie. If they fell asleep, and they all fell asleep at the same time, how did they see the disciples steal him? Did they not hear any noise opening the tomb? And another thing, it would be the guard's life if they failed at their duty of watching over this man. What a lame story. Verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. They obeyed. They went there. They wanted to see Jesus again. And guess what? When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. It seems some people, no matter what you share with them, they will doubt. Because we come by faith. But they worshiped him. And we know of Thomas, who doubted him. And the Lord made his appearance to Thomas. And he says, "That's okay, Lord, I believe." In verse 18, here's where our part comes in. We're part of this resurrection story. It doesn't end with Jesus. It doesn't end with the women told to go evangelize or share. There's more for us. And here's our part. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." First of all, in verse 18, Jesus said, "I am the authority. I am it. I am the head of the church over those who have been born again. I am your authority. I am your master, your leader. I am truth." And so he gives his followers a commission. Basically, the same as verse 10, go and tell. We're always told to go and tell. Verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, and then baptizing them. Remember in school, you or your children or grandchildren or whatever had a time of show and tell, and they would bring things in for show and tell. In our case, it's go and tell. Go and tell the story, what you know. Make disciples. First of all, share the gospel. It means to create followers. Have people join the disciples. Make disciples of all the nations. The good news, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't mean whole nations will believe when it says make disciples of all nations. It means there will be believers from all nations. Within all nations, there will be believers. Throughout the world, preach the gospel so people can get off of death row if they choose to believe. And then it tells us they should be baptized. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Baptism is a public declaration of something that's happened within a person. They've become a Christian. It's after the fact, a public demonstration. Now, in this day, it really meant something. We're still to do it today, but it was really critical here in this day because a Christian would be persecuted for his faith. So that's really making a stand for the Lord. I'm letting people know I'm going down to the river, I'm going to be baptized. Oh, they're a Christian. Today we're to be baptized. Baptism does not save. Baptism creates an identity, a public identity for us. We're Christians. Some people count on baptism to enter heaven. No, Jesus said, repent and believe. It's by faith. So publicly declare that Jesus is your Lord. And do you notice in verse 19 how they are to be baptized? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That word name is singular. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What do we call that? The Trinity, the Godhead, right here, right in this resurrection story, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father draws us, and he sends the Son. The Son gave his life. He's our Savior, and the Holy Spirit, our comforter, our power. He keeps us. We see the Godhead. And then in verse 20, we are told, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. The order goes on. Teach them. Teach them to observe discipleship, to observe all things that I have commanded you. Jesus said, the one who loves me is the one who knows my word and obeys it. We need to be doers of the word, not just hearers. We need to teach people to observe all things that Jesus has commanded us. These are our standing orders from our leader, from our master. For how long? To the end of the age. It means until we are raptured and the last person here believes. And we're raptured, taken to be with the Lord. The church is complete. The good news is this rapture could happen today. As we look around at the world, there's prophecy that's been fulfilled. And none needs to be fulfilled before the church is taken out of here. So we that are resurrected from the dead can also be taken away to be with the Lord. What a day that would be. As we sing, what a day of rejoicing that would be. This is a day to rejoice today, a day to celebrate new life. We once were lost, but now we're found. We're saved. Maybe today you want to ask Jesus Christ into your life to be Lord and Savior. You want your name written in heaven. You want to know that you're going to heaven and that you're never going to die. I'm going to say a prayer. You can just repeat this prayer, but mean it in your heart. It's not the words that save you. It's the heart condition that saves you. Are you surrendering to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Just say these words to God in heaven, and he will hear you, and he will forgive you, and Jesus will come into your life, and you will become a new creation. Today will be your resurrection day. You can rise from the dead and truly change the name of this day from Easter to Resurrection Day. Let's just bow our heads. Dear God in heaven, I am a sinner. And I am sorry that I have sinned against you. I'm sorry that I have hurt others. I ask, Lord, that you would hear my prayer. Because I believe that Jesus came to this earth, died on the cross, was buried, and rose from the dead, and he is the Savior. And so I ask him to come into my life and take over. Cleanse me from my sin. Wash me white as snow. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Teach me how to live. I love you, Lord. I open my heart to you, Jesus. Take residence. I want to be that new creation. Help me to understand your word. Give me a heart and desire for it. And Lord, give me the boldness to share this message with others. I thank you now that I am a new creature. I thank you that I've been resurrected from the dead. I thank you, Lord, that I have life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing today, I would like to tell all of you, Marianne and I really miss you. We would love to see you again. You can see me, but I can't see you. We're waiting for that day when we can gather again, worship together, fellowship together, and praise the Lord and hear his word. Can't wait. In the meantime, take care of yourself. Obey what we must do. Stay safe. Be concerned about others. And remember this, God is good. All the time, God is good. May you have a wonderful day today. And please join us next Sunday as we bring another message from God's word. God bless.